Gracious God, your presence is always with us. We invite you to open our hearts and minds that we may know you better. In the name of the welcoming Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning I'm speaking from a very personal and pastoral perspective on grief. Maybe the sermon today doesn't have much scriptural base and speaks more from an emotional and pastoral perspective, but that's okay. From talking with people pastorally, grief is a subject which must come to us all at some point in our lives. I pray the sermon speaks to you and is of help if that's where you are at present. Anyone who has had any loss, be it major or what we might consider minor, should be able to identify with some part of what I say today. And if it raises issues for you, please either talk to me or Anne or somebody in the congregation you trust, especially Anne McDowell. Anne is a grief and loss counsellor. Around 1992, I and five other clergy were having a peer group support day at Berridale Parish. That's where we sit around for the day gazing at our navels and examining the lint that gets trapped there and pondering on the deeper questions of life, like why is the colour of the lint always blue? After afternoon tea, we were about to depart when I remarked on the beautiful deep red rose which was in a vase on the mantelpiece. The rector said, "Yes, the family always have one in memory of their stillborn daughter, Rose." That touched off a reaction and we all sat down again and shared our stories. All present had either lost a child through stillbirth or close to full-term miscarriage. It was amazing to me that all present had had the experience, and it was amazing the desire of these guys to want to share deeply their feelings. So today I share my story with you. On the 22nd of July 1966, Mark Gregory Miners was born at the Lithgow Hospital. Full term, no complications, eagerly anticipated and much loved. Normal labour and delivery, stillborn. Sylvia had been to the doctors the day before, everything okay. Things are done so differently these days, with the possibility of the parents bathing and dressing the stillborn child. Photographs are often taken and existing children are able to have a nurse of the stillborn baby. Perhaps to some that may sound macabre, but my experience with families in such loss situations indicates that within reason, some of those practices can be very therapeutic and beneficial in aiding the grieving process. All Sylvia heard were the doctor's words to the nurses, "Quick, knock her out," as she was plunged into blackness by way of a needle. Sylvia had a very quick glimpse of Mark as he was taken away. I never saw Mark. Over the years, I have acquired the ability to go back in time to analyse and observe my emotional and spiritual reactions to that situation. Emotions which I observed were anger, enormous anger, anger with doctors, hospital, nursing staff, and with God. Oh, especially with God. After all, hadn't I attended church my entire life from the age of a fortnight, attended Sunday school from the age of 4 until confirmed at 14, then taught Sunday school for 8 years, sang in the church choir for 14 years, member of SEBS, leader of the youth group, member of parish council, server for 8 years. I had a lot of brownie points up with God, and he had failed to honour our relationship. I was furious with God. If that's how he looked after one of his own, pity the rest. So I gave church a miss for a long time. There were the emotions of total devastation, desolation, hopelessness, helplessness, and fear. The ability to focus and think clearly deserted me. There seemed a lack of reward for doing everything properly from a dietary and rest point of view on Sylvia's part. There was a strong sense of guilt on my part. For what? I know not. All jumbled thinking, but emotions don't necessarily have a lot of logic applied. Then came the inevitable task of ringing my parents, Sylvia's mum and her sisters, and some close friends. Hearing the happy, "What did she have?" turned into a stunned silence as I struggled to give a brief explanation through the choking tears. Neither of us ever really saw Mark. We were advised not to attend the funeral, so being too naive and compliant 23-year-olds, we didn't. On reflection, wrong advice. Sylvia was put into a room by herself way up the other end of the maternity ward. "Don't go near the nursery," she was told. But she could still hear the other babies crying. The young, inexperienced rector from St. Paul's called and some church visiting ladies, but didn't know what to say and fled at the first opportunity. But perhaps I sell them short. Perhaps we wouldn't have heard anything they said anyway, or maybe they could not have given us what we most needed. So in time, I brought Sylvia home to our empty house alone, a house with the nursery door locked. Good idea, I thought, shield her from seeing all the things she'd set up for our now non-existent baby. Good intentions, wrong call. It seemed best not to talk about our loss because I thought I might upset Sylvia. So emotions, even though they were red raw and aching below the surface, weren't talked about and were buried. Shortly after, we went away for a few weeks' holiday to Jaroa on the south coast. A break. To get over, to get away from, to recuperate, to rest. But the unexpressed emotions went on our holiday in our suitcases with us. We were there together, being happy with and for each other, recognising that each were in a black hole of grief. And our unexpressed emotions came home with us, still in our suitcases. Everybody we spoke to had a very simple solution to the problem. Have another one. As if it's possible to replace one unique individual baby with another one. We talked about our emotions very occasionally, but sad emotions got replaced with joyful emotions with the subsequent birth of three beautiful, healthy baby girls over the next 6 years. Although you can imagine my fear when the doctor ordered me out of the delivery room at Taree, just at the point of delivery of our firstborn, Heidi. Oh no, here we go again. However, my girls have the miner's square, wide shoulders. Perhaps I didn't recognise it back then, but emotional hurts leave unfinished business until they are dealt with properly. They just sort of hang out there in cyberspace like messages on the email until they're brought up on your computer screen and dealt with. Then in 1983, I went to St. Mark's College, Canberra, to train for the ordained ministry. But while I was there, I started to have troubling thoughts, fearful thoughts, like, what if I get a funeral for a stillborn baby? Will I be able to handle it? God wanted me to start on finishing my unfinished business. Unbelievably, my first funeral after ordination in 1985 was for a 16-year-old girl who'd given birth to a stillborn baby boy. Oh, gee, thanks, Lord, just what I need. Terrific. The girl's parents were worshipping members of our congregation, so they asked me to officiate at the service in the funeral director's chapel. The young mum was there in her dressing gown, having come direct from hospital. I said towards the end of the address that I understood a little of her pain, having been in a similar situation some 19 years earlier. She was heavily sedated, but as I said that, her glazed eyes instantly focused. and she listened intently because I understood her that day. Her feelings were acknowledged and validated. But remember that individual people experience individual emotions. There's not a one-size-fits-all. However, more was to come for me. At the end of the service, the girl's mother said she had asked the funeral director for us to go to the cemetery to bury the baby, and they would come out at 3 p.m. to the graveside after we'd finished. The funeral director and I drove out to the cemetery with the little white coffin on the back seat of the mourning car in seatbelts rather than using the hearse. After I'd said the usual prayers of committal, I suddenly recognised that I was going to be the other person lowering the coffin with tapes, seeing there was only the two of us there. It was a strange feeling because as I started to lower the coffin, that child became my child. I was lowering my child. Through the coming together of circumstances, God had brought a large healing to me that day. Further on in 1996, I had a restlessness again about unfinished business still needing closure. I obtained a death certificate, something which I'd never had. I phoned the council to find out the gravesite number, and Sylvia and I went to Lithgow and visited the gravesite. All stillbirths and miscarriages are buried in the one large area enclosed by a high roll-top mesh fence. On the fence were numerous plaques in memory of children lost. Sylvia and I wanted a plaque to commemorate the birth and death of Mark, that such a person had lived, even if only in the mother's womb, to mark the event, to recognise him as a unique person whose birth was awaited with joyous anticipation. We've seen the photos of the plaque taken by friends in Lithgow, but on Monday, 6th of October 2003, we went back. For us, it's now okay. But it took 39 years to work through the mourning process. Now, either for yourself or friends, recognise that people grieve differently, experience different emotions, and time frames are different for closure. But always, even though we may not be able to see it or feel it at the time, God is in there in all of it, binding up the brokenhearted. Mark would have turned 51 yesterday.